This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matt Wells. In this week's programme, the strain of the Zika virus responsible for abnormalities among newborn babies arrives in Africa. And we've the story of how satellite technology is helping fight hunger across Zimbabwe. But first, a retired nurse from Nigeria has been describing how she gave shelter to 50 people who were fleeing fighters from the Boko Haram terrorist group. The 50 displaced people ended up staying for 7 months and were fed and looked after by 59-year-old Ashatu Magima in Adamawa State in the northeast of the country. Ms. Magima told her story to Fabrice Robinet at the recent World Humanitarian Summit, which took place in Istanbul, Turkey. She explained what happened to the people who were fleeing Boko Haram.
When they came, you know, the IDPs were so many by then, many people in the camp, and there were more people in the host community. So they came to my house in a pathetic situation. There is no how I can refuse them. It can happen to anybody, and mostly children and women. They were so tired, they were so disturbed, so I had to accommodate them. At a time, they were even using my office, to live in my office, because we were so many in the house.
How long did they stay there?
They stayed for 7 months. It wasn't easy, but with special grace of God, with the meager resources I had, and with the support from neighbors, we managed it. I gave them place to sleep. They sleep in my house. They eat in my house. On daily basis, I buy drugs to children. The drugs that are not available, I have to buy it for the children. I buy clothes, all the needs, the basic needs.
Could you describe some of the impacts Boko Haram had on these displaced people?
Boko Haram killed some of their husbands in front of them. There is a lady, Boko Haram killed her husband, slaughtered the husband, and another woman. You know, as they were fleeing, two of her children got sick and they died on the way. She has to leave them in the bush, in the forest, because of fear of being abducted or killed by Boko Haram. Again, with the remaining two children she had. That is the case. Dead bodies were left in other places like Lhasa. They came like military, and the Lhasa people assembled, thinking that they are coming to assist them. Unfortunately, they just killed all of them.
And at the collective level, what do you think can be done to help these people being displaced by Boko Haram?
They need more support to get money to be able to sustain their families. And then government infrastructures have been burnt, houses have been burnt. So these government infrastructures, because these people need hospital, healthcare, they need education, they need shelter.
A strain of a virus which can lead to brain defects in newborns has been discovered for the first time in Africa, the UN has confirmed. The damaging strain of the Zika virus has been detected in some 26 countries across the Americas, but has now been identified on the island archipelago of Cabo Verde off the coast of West Africa. Daniel Dickinson reports.
A strain of a virus which can lead to brain defects in newborns has been discovered for the first time in Africa, the UN has confirmed. The Zika virus has been detected in some 26 countries in the Americas, but has now been identified on the island archipelago of Cabo Verde off the west coast of Africa. Zika is primarily contracted through the bite of the Aedes mosquito. It's especially dangerous for pregnant women. In South America, it's been linked to cases of microcephaly, a neurological condition which affects newborns. It's also been associated with Guillain-Barré syndrome, a rare but serious autoimmune disorder. It was first discovered on Cabo Verde, or Cape Verde as it's known in English, last October. Since then, there have been over 7,500 suspected cases, including three cases of microcephaly. It's only now that the link with the strain in the Americas has been confirmed. Dr. Matshidiso Moeti is the World Health Organization, WHO, Regional Director for Africa.
This is the first time that the strain of the Zika virus, which has been shown to cause neurological disorders, microcephaly and the Guillain-Barré syndrome, has been detected in Africa. The findings are of concern because it's further proof that this strain is spreading beyond South America and is on the doorstep of Africa.
Although the number of Zika cases in Cabo Verde appears to be on the decline, she says countries across Africa should act now.
This just emerged information will help African countries to reevaluate their level of risk and adapt and increase their level of preparedness.
A number of precautions can be taken, according to Dr. Moeti.
As a first step, countries should heighten risk communication in order to raise the public's awareness of complications associated with Zika virus disease and to promote protection at the individual level to avoid mosquito bites as well as sexual transmission of the virus.
The control of mosquitoes is key to stopping Zika from spreading. As Cabo Verde is an island, there have also been suggestions that implementing travel restrictions could prevent the virus from reaching mainland Africa. But that's a view which is discounted by Bruce Elwood, Executive Director of Outbreaks and Health Emergencies at WHO.
The idea of travel restrictions, that fits in the bucket of seductively simple but stupid solutions. They don't work. And what you do is hugely complicate the ability to help a country that's already been hit by this thing to actually manage it.
In February, WHO declared the increasing cases of neonatal and neurological disorders linked to the Zika outbreak in the Americas a public health emergency. The UN agency launched a global response plan to support countries in their fight against Zika. It needs $56 million. So far, the response has been, in the words of Bruce Elwood, anemic.
Information from satellite imagery is helping to assess the effects of the El Niño weather phenomenon in Zimbabwe and, in the process, fight hunger in the southern African country. That's according to Rogério Bonifácio, climate analyst for the World Food Programme, WFP. WFP is teaming up with the European Space Agency to collect data on climate change in agricultural and pastoral regions. Janie Cangelosi has the story.
An estimated 2.8 million people in Zimbabwe are currently considered food insecure, according to the World Food Programme. Rogério Bonifácio, a climate analyst for WFP, explained how extreme weather has led to what he called poor or failed crop yields.
Well, as a result of the current El Niño, Zimbabwe suffered one of the driest seasons in the past 35 years, probably as bad as the 1991-92 season, the last season with a very significant drought. And we expect very significant impacts on crop production and water availability and pasture resources.
WFP is using technology to try and change that. They've partnered up with the European Space Agency and are using satellites to study the effects of climate change.
Sentinel-2 is a brand new satellite that provides very high resolution data with a very high frequency of observation. And what this does is to allow us to better estimate the impacts of El Niño on crop production, planted area, and the likely agricultural outcomes for the whole country. In particular, where WFP has a project named Food Secure, with interventions at farm level, it will allow us to evaluate better what the result of that intervention will be.
Zimbabwe and other southern African nations affected by drought are also getting help from the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO. They've launched a weather-based funding mechanism called Food Secure Climate Resilience, or Food Secure. The program provides smallholder farmers with drought-tolerant seeds and training in agricultural practices that take into account climate change and efficient use of natural resources. FAO reports that initial evidence shows positive yields. Janie Cangelosi, United Nations.
And finally, important news for Liberia, where the complete lifting of UN Security Council sanctions there has been described as a testament to what can be achieved when they work properly. That's the view of the United States Ambassador for Special Political Affairs to the UN. The sanctions regime just ended came into effect in 2003, following the end of Liberia's long-running and brutal civil war. US Ambassador David Pressman addressed the council immediately after the unanimous vote to end the sanctions. As the council member leading the adoption of the resolution, he said the successful removal of sanctions showed how effective the tool could be when used properly.
This was a testament to what can be achieved when sanctions are deployed with purpose and coupled with the necessary political progress from governments. For Liberia to safeguard the gains achieved over the past 12 years, We encourage the government to prioritize further capacity building of its security sector and by continuing to strengthen the capacity of its security agencies to better monitor arms flows, mark weapons, and patrol its borders.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matt Wells.